We are still very close to the autumn equinox time, where the world stands in perfect balance. And so I'd like to invoke that sense of balance, and maybe when I sing, then you can do this and then feel that energy. And after you feel that energy a little while, then you can kind of bless yourself with it or bathe yourself with that energy in, wherever you need it, your heart, your body, your head, anywhere that you might need it. So, and then you can go back to this one. And the song that I'm singing is the from the old Tao practice of doing without doing, action without action. It's feeling in the total flow of the universe, feeling the universe in perfect balance inside of us. As we live according to the nature's kind of nature's principles. So that's what the song is about. Wei Wu Wei, Wei. Ying Hong, Ying Hong. now really feeling that balance, perfect balance, universe being in balance inside of us, in that pause. Usual. Bing hong. Bing hong. Bing hong. Way away, doing without doing. Bringing perfect balance into our lives and into the universe. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Here we are after the summer, and this is the session number 7, working with the inner life. Welcome, thank you all for coming. It's lovely to see you. And I'd like to read a little bit, finish off a first chapter. We are coming to the end of first chapter, and then we are going to move to the second chapter. The first chapter was all about preparing ourselves for this inner journey, for inner life. You know, what do we need to prepare? What do we need to do with ourselves? How do we prepare our lives so that we can come to that inner journey? Hello and welcome. And so just to finish off that chapter, I'm gonna read just a couple more passages from there. The Gateka. The ones who live their inner life all direct their activity with wisdom. Every moment, every action, every thought, every word is first thought out, is first weighed and measured and analyzed before it is expressed. Therefore, in the world, everything they do is with wisdom, but before God, they stand with innocence. There they do not take worldly wisdom. Tasawuf. There is a tradition to be in the world, but not of the world. There are Sufis even today in all capacities, fulfilling all sorts of worldly functions and occupations. As Abu Sa'id said, the true devotee lives and dies, marries, begets children, and does everything like everybody else, but does not forget Allah for one instant. Therefore, the practices are used by the wise, and this is their strength and wisdom in every undertaking. So here we are talking about the action. The action part of the action and non-action, or doing without doing, like the song that we just sang. So every action is measured, every word is thought through. And yet, when we are approaching God, then we leave all of that behind, in a way, because it's like our actions are coming from that feeling of being in the flow. You could say being in the flow with the universe. And then when we are in that flow, then it is like it's not us, it's not our nafs, it's not our ego where the action comes from. It is God acting through us. And that's the action that Hazrat Inayat Khan is referring to here. Same thing as the old Tao teachings. Same things as the Bhagavad Gita and all the other scriptures are teaching us. Gateka. Man often, or human, often makes mistakes, either by taking one way or the other, and therefore they lack balance and they do not come to touch perfection. For instance, when they take the way of activity in the path of God, they also wish to use their wisdom there. But in the path of God, they also wish to be active. But there, we don't need the action. It is just like swimming against the tide, where you must be innocent. If you use your wisdom there, it is the greatest error. So it's just talking about the that we cannot use our worldly wisdom in when we connect with God, or when we connect with that inner life, that our own inner processes. It doesn't follow the same principles, doesn't follow the same rules as when we act in a world and do not hold God in our heart, you could say. Tasawwuf. It is not necessary to use will or knowledge in every aspect of life. Muhammad has said, praise God in times of prosperity and surrender him to him in times of adversity. If this had been done, there would have been multitudes of happy people. But it is always possible. There is always hope that sometime it will be done, and then there will be much more happiness on the earth. So that was what Murshid Sam is saying. We just need to praise God in times of prosperity and surrender to God in times of adversity. And this brings me to actually to this to the first practice that I wanted to do with you. And I'm gonna just take the beads. And I'd like to use the two angels, two wazifas, two qualities of the one that again, you know, that represent these opposites, the two extremes, you could say. And at the same time, they are like the two faces of the coin. They are still part of the same coin. Just two opposite faces of it. And even though they might superficially seem quite opposite. The first one is Ya Muntakim. Ya Muntakim. Ya Muntakim. And this is oftentimes translated as the avenger, the one who takes revenge, which doesn't actually come from any sort of it doesn't this meaning is not doesn't come through from the roots of the word, because it's you could say that it means the great balancer. Yamuntakim is the great balancer. So if we are starting to look at it from the divine perspective, then sometimes we get stuck in our lives in unwholesome kind of ways of being, and we act out of our sense of revenge or out of anger, out of hurt. When we feel that we have been wronged, then we feel that we need to kind of restore the balance by taking revenge or kind of like acting, bringing the balance by bringing revenge. And this Yamuntakim teaches us to basically let go of our ego, our nafs, and knowing that the only way that true balance can be achieved or true justice can be achieved is by allowing that divine presence to, or to allowing the universe to kind of balance these things out naturally. That it's not kind of God being angry at us, or and then taking revenge in some ways, or we taking revenge in God's name. It's just totally surrendering our primal instincts and primal passions, and allowing that sense of sort of restorative balance to happen. It's like when we feel that. No, that's okay. That's okay. So sometimes this action, this balancing action can feel almost like violent or really like very strong for us. But it's just knowing that it is kind of letting go of that notion of feeling these things as personal. When we let go of that idea that, oh, somebody has personally, or God has personally, something against me, then we can relax into it, and we can allow this natural balancing to happen. I hope that makes sense somehow. I'm trying to use different kind of avenues a little bit to touch that. It's a very strong practice. It's kind of like another way, another image is that you can see it like sometimes we just need to take out the trash. Our rubbish bin is getting full in the kitchen, and we just need to take it out. We can't keep putting into it. We just need to take it out. Okay. And also Yamuntakim, it's kind of like it really deals with these like almost instinctual behaviors, these primal kind of passions that we when we are not feeling, not thinking, when we are just acting or reacting rather. So it deals with these kinds of reactions from on our behalf, and it's like for example, when a tiger sees a deer, the tiger does not think or feel, it just jumps. It's the instinct to jump, and that's the our instinct to act without thinking, feeling anything. So Yamuntakim helps us to to work with these instinctual kind of patterns that we can't otherwise access. Okay. And then the second one we are using is Ya Afu. Ya Afu. Ya Afu. And this is in some ways you could say like very opposite. It's the ultimate forgiveness. It's like when you have gone through a whole big process of acknowledging the hurt that you have experienced perhaps, and then going through all of the emotions related to that, and then turning to to the divine. And then this Ya'afu is like the final step of forgiveness, when it's like the very essence of forgiveness, when every trace of the hurt is erased. It's like a wind blowing over the footprints in the sand, and until there is nothing left, there is no trace left. There is not even a memory of a hurt ever having happened, or any wrongdoing or any fault. There is like no memory, no trace, nothing left. It's totally, totally gone. Okay. So you are, and in this way, when we are talking about, when we are bringing those two together, then Yamuntakim is like taking out the trash, and Ya'afu is, it's like burning the trash. There's nothing left anymore. Ya'afu is like we are beyond any reactivity to anything. Okay. So we are working with our things that we might need to forgive to ourselves or to others from these two different places. One place is working with these primal instincts and passions, and the other thing is like emotional, on an emotional level. Ya'afu is working with them on emotional level, totally letting go. Okay, so let's do that a little bit. Ya'amun takim. Ya'afu. Ya muntakim, ya afu. 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 Ya muntakim. 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 Ya afu. Now breathing in, ya muntakim. Breathing out, ya afu. Feeling that sense of balance that comes from allowing the right course of action to just naturally happen. Letting go of our nerves grasping. And then letting go of the words and simply breathing with a feeling and just being. I mean, is this story about the teacher and his students, and the teacher went to a town. And when he came back, then the students asked, "Oh, how was it?" And he said, "It was beautiful, but I don't recommend any of you to go there. You know, don't go there." So one of the students got curious and went to town, and then came back and then said to the teacher, "That was horrible town. Like it was the most horrible place I've ever visited. You know, what were you talking about?" And the teacher said, "Well, you just would have had to see it through my eyes." So it's the same thing again. So now we have arrived at chapter 2, which is the object of the journey. And I think I just want to read you a bunch here because I just find it very beautiful. So let's see how we get on with that. Gatheka. The first and principal thing in the inner life is to establish a relationship with God, making God the object with which we relate ourselves, such as creator, sustainer, forgiver, judge, friend, father, mother, and beloved. Tasawwuf. We may begin with an abstraction. An abstraction may be needed as the first step toward reality. As we turn from abstraction to identification, there is something which both mind and heart can hold. As orthodoxy usually accepts the creator, by feeling we can change that from a concept to something more. This is a first step. Then, as sustainer, we begin to feel ourselves in God and God in ourselves. Here, we do not merely repeat the name of God, we begin to ingest the quality needed in ourselves. If we repeat Yahai, we not only get the idea of life and livingness, we begin to draw that magnetism from the sphere. We become more alive. No magic can do that. Life is more than magic. And once we begin to find this reality of God, we begin to feel him or her in various capacities, something much greater than abstraction or idea or ideal. Yet not excluding abstraction or idea or ideal. Ooh, I just love that one. We not only get the idea of life and livingness, but we begin to draw that magnetism from the sphere and we become more alive. No magic can do that. Life is more than magic. Anyway. Gateka. In every relationship, we must place God before us and become conscious of that relationship so that it will no more remain an imagination. Because the first thing a believer does is to imagine. He imagines or she imagines that God is the creator and tries to believe that God is the sustainer. And they make an effort to think that God is a friend and an attempt to feel that he or she loves God. So it's this process of feeling the presence of God ever closer and closer. In fact, it reminded me of a song, but I don't know if I remember it well enough to sing it right now. So maybe I'll try a little later. Once, Tasawuf, once one is aware of the surge of life, one finds life has qualities beyond those emanations studied in the physical sciences. When we find God as creator and as living, we also find in Allah all the qualities, the Sifati Allah, that they are real, that they have expression in life, and that they can be absorbed into our personality. Thus, we go from grade to grade in ever greater realizations of the divinity. Gateka. But if this imagination is to become a reality, then exactly as one feels for one's earthly beloved sympathy, love, and attachment, so one must feel the same with God. However greatly a person may be pious, good or righteous, yet without this, their piety or goodness is not a reality to them. Tasawuf. It is not only that human must feel, but also that they do find. For once the impression of the noble qualities of God became fixated in their consciousness, then all the glories, all the virtues begin to manifest. And as they manifest, then there is no more need for imagination. Indeed, imagination only hinders the living experience, the waking consciousness. It has been needed. It is needed no more. So first we start imagining and visualizing our connection with the divine, and then once we start feeling it, and we can, and once we start feeling the all the qualities actually living inside of us and in the world all around us, and then we start to experience that, then we don't need to imagine anymore. Then the imagination will only become a limitation, and we find that life, and like Hazrat Inayat Khan said just earlier, that we start to draw whatever we need from the sphere and all around us, from the universe, all the qualities that we need, all the nourishment that we need to for all parts of our being. Gateka. The work of the inner life is to make God a reality, so that God is no more an imagination, that this relationship we have with God may seem to us more real than any other relationship in this world. That this relationship we have with God may seem to us more real than any other relationship in this world. And when this happens, then all relationships, however near or dear, become less binding. Tasawuf, this is exactly what does happen. We pray, draw us closer every moment of our lives, until in us be reflected thy grace, thy glory, thy wisdom, thy joy, and thy peace. This is exactly what happens when one pursues the inner life. And there is an ever-increasing radiance and ever-increasing manifestation of grace. And this also produces the transformation, which means a complete change of values. Gateka. But at the same time, a person does not thus become cold. The person becomes more loving. Tasavvuf. When the message was first introduced, many were efficient in getting a very good intellectual understanding, but they did not have the heart understanding. There was not the warmth. But as the message spread, and with the times, also there was the manifestation of more warmth. The constant repetition of the prayers, in sincerity or not, brought about the condition sought. The constant repetition of the prayers, in sincerity or not, brought about the condition sought. Very gradually, the prayers of the few became the harvest of the many. One last Gateka. It is the godless man or human who is cold, impressed by the selfishness and lovelessness of the world, because they partake on those conditions in which they live. But the one who is in love with God, the one who has established their relationship with God, their love becomes living. They are no more cold. They fulfill their duties to those related to them in this world much more than does the godless person. And Tasavvuf, it is this which manifests in the stages of the awakening of heart. There can be no pretense. No one can pretend. No one can imagine the warmth, the magnetism, the glow, the radiance, which are signs of the divine presence, of which Jesus has said, "Let your light shine before the all, that all may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven." The Orthodox quote passages, "The wise manifest the teachings." So rather than quoting the passages, we might as well start manifesting the teachings. I find this just becoming like really juicy and beautiful now. Or, you know, I can really relate to that. The feeling of it's what we do with all the repetitions of the prayers, or when we do the practices, when we repeat the qualities, the names of the one. We are kind of like knocking on the door of the heart, you know, come on, hear me, when are you going to open your heart, when are you going to crack it open and then open a little bit more. And then once something has opened that door of the heart, then the all life becomes just living, and then we can get access to all these qualities through just one, whichever one that is, that opens the door for you. So in that sense, we don't need a lot of practices. We can just go with one practice and do that for the rest of our lives until it cracks us open, and then then we can start living from that place. Anyway, maybe we'll sing some.
La la la.
May that breath of the divine touch your heart and carry you through the next moment and the next steps in your life, and hold you and protect you. Amen. Amen.